Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships.
Hello and welcome back to another episode. So today I want to talk a little bit about the journey of entering a narcissistic relationship, because I think a lot of people, you know, they understand what a narcissistic relationship is, but how do you stay out of a narcissistic relationship? How can you avoid that in the future? And how can you deal with narcissists if you're unable to escape that relationship fully? So if you're co-parenting or anything like that, how do you deal with those types of personalities? And if you've been following, you know, this podcast for a while or this radio show for a while, then you'll know that what led me to create Love with Intelligence was because I went through a narcissistic psychopathic relationship. So, which has its, you know, there's been a lot of insights. It's been quite a journey going through that experience. But one thing that's really important to understand is that it's not your fault. If you've gone into these kind of relationships, you know, it's not your fault. You know, no one sort of says, okay, I want to go into a relationship where I'm treated badly, or to enter a relationship where you go into toxic patterns, or, you know, to do your best in the relationship and wonder why it hasn't worked out. And I kind of want to go through all those things today, because the last thing I want for anyone who has gone through a narcissistic relationship is to carry that blame. Because I think this is something that a lot of people tend to do when they've come out of narcissistic relationships. You know, they suddenly realize, oh gosh, it could be narcissistic relation, you know, it could be a narcissistic relationship. Is it my fault? Could I have done something better? How did I end up in this relationship? How can I, you know, how did I stay in that relationship for so long? And there's so much that tends to happen when you come out of those types of relationships. You know, your mind is going over things again and again and again. You feel dissociated from your emotions, so you don't even know what you're feeling anymore. Decision making, you know, even just trying to make the simplest decision of like what brand of milk to buy, it tends to be like a 10-minute ordeal, when you know previously it was, you know, a quick snap decision. So we'll kind of go into all these different elements because I do think it's important. But one of the first things I want to start with is actually understanding the true definition of a narcissist, because, you know, I have mentioned this before, narcissist, it's such a buzzword in the relationship and dating industry. You know, as soon as we hear someone go through a bad breakup or anything, you know, the other person's a narcissist. It's not always the case. So a true narcissist is someone who's, you know, this has been scientifically proven, by the way, the empathy part of the brain is actually underdeveloped. So it means that this person who, you know, if someone's a narcissist, their ability to feel empathy, to feel someone else's emotions, is almost like asking a fish to walk. It's not going to happen. So asking someone who has no concept of empathy, no real emotional intelligence, to show up in a relationship in a healthy way is practically impossible. And there's no known cure for narcissism. And that's really important to actually mention, because a lot of people think, oh gosh, I can love them enough and help them, you know, overcome this. Like, no, this is actually a disorder. It's almost like the best way I can describe it is a reverse autism. And so with autism, you know, they're able to feel emotions and things like that, but they're not really able to sometimes express them fully. And narcissism's like the opposite. They can pretend, they can mimic emotions, but they don't necessarily feel them. And we'll kind of go into how you can see if someone's being genuine or not when it comes to emotions. Because that's a really great, great way to know if someone's a narcissist or not. So let's kind of go into how a narcissistic relationship works. So if I go back to like one of my relationships, the one with the narcissistic psychopath. So when we started talking, there was something that was really quite prevalent. They're very focused on their status and, you know, being able to be seen as this amazing person. So one of the things that he kind of led with was his job and what he did and what he owns and how far he's come and what he's hoping to do in the future. So they tend to focus a lot on how to build themselves up. It's like, look at me, look what I've got to offer. How awesome am I that I've been able to go ahead and do this? Then what they do is they go into love bombing. So they go into this thing of like, hey, you know, how awesome, you know, how you're awesome. You know, I love you. I feel like I've known you for years. I feel like, you know, you're the one for me. You're the only person that will do. You know, they kind of really go into this space of like, I love you. But it's not from this empathic place where they truly mean it. It's from this place of, if I tell you I love you, you're going to want more of that love, so you're going to do as I say in order to receive that love. And that tends to be the place where it comes from. So then what we tend to find is, after that stage, there's something called floodlighting. And I was literally talking about this with a couple of people yesterday on an interview, and it was really, really quite interesting, because floodlighting is when they start talking about their sob story. It's like, oh gosh, well, I came from this situation and I had to overcome this. So for my relationship, you know, the past relationship with the psychopathic narcissist, he was talking a lot about coming from a bit of a broken home. He was chubby as a child. You know, it was kind of like that kind of sub story where he had to try and look after his mum and all this kind of thing. And it's not to say that the story wasn't true, but it was definitely exaggerated. And that's really important to understand as well, because narcissists love to exaggerate things, especially if it's to make them look better or to prove a point more, or, you know, to do something to really grab your attention and pull at those empathy strings. Because when you're dealing with like empaths, if you say anything that's going to pull on any kind of emotion, we're there. It's like, oh gosh, how on earth did you go through that? Or wow, this person must really love me. And all these different emotions tend to come out as a result. So whether it's like falling in love in that deeper level, or whether it's that thing of like, wow, this person's been through a lot. I really want to heal them. I really want to show up and give them as much love as possible because they've never really experienced that before. So we kind of go into this role, you know, this role of wanting to love, protect, and also please. And then when we're in that state, it's like this is where they love to be able to play around with what they expect from you. Because in a narcissistic relationship, it's very similar to a cult. Okay, and the reason I say this is because they tend to put different things in line and let you know how they expect you to act in that relationship. So it might be like, well, only stupid people think that way. You know, oh gosh, well, I thought you actually understood how much I love you. You know, it's very much like pointed at you and blaming you for thinking or doing things in a certain way. And that's a way we control behavior. And the reason this works so well is because when we do something called love bombing, there's a release of serotonin and dopamine in the brain. Okay, this is all the good feeling chemicals. And what narcissists tend to do is they do this, they get that massive spike, and then all of a sudden they withdraw. So all our serotonin and dopamine levels literally disperse very, very quickly. And when that happens again and again and again and again after a short period of time, it creates this trauma bond. And also, it makes that person the only source of feeling good. Now, I remember, because I was in a long-distance relationship in that relationship in the beginning, what tended to happen was if I ever went out with friends or anything like that, there would be an argument. Okay, he would literally, you know, text me or something like that, start this massive argument over absolutely nothing, because then my brain was conditioned to feel bad about going out with friends or being around people that he wasn't happy of me being around, or even just going out. And what this does is it actually covertly controls that behavior. Okay, so when I think about going out, it'd be like, oh, well, you know, I don't really fancy going out, because when that happens, I know that I feel bad. And it might not be conscious awareness, but your subconscious will be aware of that. So this is where it starts to dictate and play around with your life. And this is where some people tend to lose themselves or get that feeling of losing themselves, because the things that once allowed them to feel really good and to feel really happy have suddenly been taken away. Those things don't have that happiness attached to them anymore. I mean, I actually remember thinking back. I remember after I broke off that relationship, I remember going out with some girlfriends and going out for a Chinese, and it was just fantastic. You know, we just had a real good time, having a few drinks, eating awesome food. Went to this place where they were literally just bringing out tons and tons and tons of like different Chinese food. It was absolutely amazing. And I remember having a right giggle, and you know, it was just absolutely fantastic. And when I got dropped off home, I remember actually consciously thinking like, wow, I don't feel bad. Like, I actually feel really good. I feel really happy. This is really strange. I've been out and I feel good and I feel happy. How is this happening? And it started to dawn on me, wow, the reason I'd usually feel bad getting home was because I'd usually have to carry on trying to fix an argument that he had started, or things like that. So this is the way that narcissism tends to happen, because the other thing is they love to be able to isolate people. So if they can isolate you from friends, from family, they become the primary source of, you know, your love and your happiness. Okay, so for you being able to feel loved, to feel good. And this is when a lot of people come out of narcissistic relationships and they've lost their supply of feeling good, because there's been that conditioning that's been happening. There's been, you know, that your source of love has been taken away. You know, I say love in air quotes because narcissists aren't really capable of loving in that deep way or the same way as someone who, you know, is neurotypical. So when we have a look at these kind of patterns, we're actually looking at the way someone would be actually programmed in a cult. Okay, so this is how deep and psychological, how deep and psychological this kind of impact has from a narcissistic relationship. So the thing is, when you have a look at how this starts to happen, you can start to realize why so many people end up falling into these relationships, and also why the healing journey is so big. Most people, if you haven't been in a narcissistic relationship, most people do not understand how difficult it is to actually heal from those types of relationships. So let's kind of also talk a little bit about this empathy as well, because it's a really cool way to be able to see if someone's a narcissist or not. Okay, there's loads of different ways in terms of, like, you know, they're usually not accountable to their emotions or accountable or responsible for their actions and things like that. But there's also something a little bit deeper as well. And it literally links back to this empathy and being able to understand how to spot genuine empathy. Now, the way we are taught how to read empathy from people, like, or how we actually got taught how to display empathy as babies, is that we mimic our parents' facial expressions. So when we're little tiny babies, we have our parents sticking their tongues out at us, you know, pulling smiles and, you know, blowing raspberries and all sorts. And, you know, we start to mimic that because when we're in good rapport with people, we mimic facial expressions, we mimic body language. So if you have a look in a cafe, and this is one of my favourite things to do, by the way, is when you go in a cafe and you look at people who are sitting together, and if they're mimicking and mirroring their, each other's behaviours, you know, if you watch a couple at a table or something like that, you can see they're in a good rapport. So if they're drinking at the same time, if they have, one has their leg crossed and the other one has their leg crossed or their arms crossed, you can see that they're kind of in that good level of rapport. But if you've got one person who's, you know, got their legs crossed and the other one's sort of like looking away and not really engaged in that discussion, in that relationship, you can see there's a very big disconnection there. But kind of pulling back to the babies and demonstrating that empathy, the way you would spot empathy in a person is that if you were going to tell a really sad story, like, oh my gosh, you know, I've just gone through this thing where I've lost my job, this bad thing happened, and I'm really struggling with X, Y, Z, you know, you tend to pull a sad face telling that kind of story. And what you're looking for is the same sad face to be on that person who you're telling. It's like, look, all this bad stuff's happened. Empathize with me. And the same goes if you're telling a really happy story. You know, if you're really happy and you're sharing something, that person's going to be smiling with you and be really happy with you. And when it comes to genuine emotions, so I want you to think about when you smile. Okay, and when you feel really happy and, you know, maybe you're joking and laughing with friends or something like that, that expression doesn't suddenly go in 0.2 seconds. It fades gradually. And what we find with inauthentic expressions is they suddenly leave. So imagine like smiling, the biggest smile that you can possibly smile. I mean, even do it now and then suddenly stop that smile really quickly. You know, that's not natural. And this is what we tend to find with narcissists, is that, you know, there's either not that level of rapport where they're mimicking that facial expression, or there is, if they're really clever and they'll teach themselves how to mimic, the expression will instantly drop off the face, or they'll change that subject really quickly and move away from whatever you're talking about, because there's not that emotional capability to be able to really dive in deep with you. And the other thing that's really important to note with this is that, you know, everyone might be doing this from time to time, but a narcissist will be doing this consistently, okay? Because that's the way their mind's wired. They don't have that level of empathy, will never find that level of empathy with them. And what you tend to find is, if they're talking about, if you're talking about something sad, you know, they might have to, up it. So, this is like the one-upmanship. You know, you think that's bad? Well, I've gone through this and I've gone through that, and they'll turn it back on onto themselves all the time and share that kind of, different things about how bad it's been for them. Or, you know, how, you know, they'll bring it back to themselves in some sort of way, like, oh, well, I've helped you and I've done this, or whatever it might be. So it's constantly, you know, the relationship tends to be this thing where it's all about them. Okay, all about them. We nickname narcissist memes because they're very much like me. So these are a few things that you can look out for when it comes to narcissistic relationships, and, you know, what you can spot to avoid kind of going into those dynamics. Because the thing is, if you have been in a narcissistic relationship, I can almost guarantee there's a few different things that's going to be important to understand about your childhood. Now, the first one is, I can almost guarantee, if you've ended up in a narcissistic relationship, that you might have struggled to have boundaries with your family. Okay, whether it's one member of your family, two members of your family, you know, it doesn't matter. It's usually, you know, usually one person that you can't have boundaries with, or doesn't understand you, or is not emotionally available. And what this does is it teaches you to go and find that type of partner, because we always go for what's familiar. And the reason we do that is because we're programmed to do that for survival. It's like, wow, this pattern has kept me alive up until this point, so I need to continue it. So that's what we tend to do. The other thing that can also be prevalent as well in childhood, if you've been in narcissistic relationships, is witnessing codependent relationships. Because narcissistic relationships are highly codependent, highly, 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 highly codependent. And what I mean by this is, in codependent relationships, one partner is always so focused on the other partner. There's this feeling of being responsible for the other partner. And in a healthy relationship, I always talk about the four C's that we kind of created, where we've got compatibility, consideration, communication, and collaboration. And the thing is, with collaboration, you need to be accountable for yourself. You need to be accountable for your happiness, your goals, your actions, your words, your emotions, everything. Because if you're not accountable for yourself, you're not going to show up in that relationship in a healthy way. Imagine being responsible for someone else, being responsible for someone else's happiness, to be responsible for someone else's goals, someone else's life. It's not right. And this is what I tend to find with when people have come out of narcissistic relationships. They feel responsible for the way that person had acted or treated them. It's like, look, this person has treated you the way they've treated you. It's because that's who they are. And it's remembering, if you've been in a narcissistic relationship, you showed up in the healthiest possible way you could in that relationship. Because the truth is, no one can have a healthy relationship with a narcissist. That's the truth of it. No one can. Because you're dealing with someone who doesn't have that capability of empathy. And if there's no empathy, how can they consider you? How can they be considerate of your needs? How can they understand how you're feeling? How can you have that level of intimacy if there's no empathy? Now, this is like the big mind-blowing moment for a lot of people, because you suddenly release yourself of feeling the weight of not making it work and feeling like you're the broken one. Because narcissists tend, because they're unable to be accountable for their emotions, they're not accountable for their actions, accountable for their words. Because they don't have that level of accountability, they blame everyone else. There's always this thing of like, well, it's your fault. Well, you didn't notice that. I'm sorry you feel that way. There's always this way of turning everything back onto their partners or onto everyone else. So this is one of the reasons why it's really difficult to have a healthy relationship, and practically impossible to have a healthy relationship with those types of people, because you need that level of accountability, you need that level of emotional intelligence to have something that's really healthy. Now, the other thing about this as well, and this is quite funny, like I learned about this and I actually witnessed this as well. Like this is quite scary when you start looking at the core elements of it. A narcissist, okay, will only apologize to gain control. And there's a real pattern to narcissistic apologies, and it's this. If a narcissist says sorry, okay, you ready for this? If they say sorry, they, because there's no empathy there, they are unable to say sorry for what they've done. So if you turn around to a narcissist and say, well, what are you sorry for? They'll go, well, you know, that thing I did, that thing. What thing? You know, the thing that upset you. What thing that upset you? Well, whatever, I'm sorry for whatever's upset you, okay? There's often that kind of dynamic in that conversation. And it's because they're unable to pinpoint. But what they're looking for is to reel you back in. They want to apologize, to gain that control, to carry on having the empathy hooks in you, so they're able to carry on controlling you with the love bombing and also the withdrawal. Because if you're on the back foot where you're withdrawing for them, they don't have that control anymore. And this is the other thing. When you come out of a narcissistic relationship, they will do, you know, 9 times out of 10, absolutely everything they can to draw you back in. And, you know, especially if you were the one who decided to end that relationship. Because what we tend to find is if narcissists leave a relationship, it's usually because they've been cheating and it's usually to move on to someone else. So if they haven't left the relationship on their terms and you ended it, they look for that control back. So they'll do something called hoovering. And hoovering is basically doing things like this. Like they say, oh gosh, I just heard our song on the radio and I just really, really miss you. do you remember that time? I'm just at XYZ place. And do you remember the time we went there and we had this? You know, they'll do things that will, you know, tug on those, on that level of empathy to try and reel you back in. Now, you know, you can see how intelligent this is and why so many people fall for it. Because here's the other thing. Most people believe to be tricked and to be influenced in such a way or manipulated in such a way is because you're not intelligent. Well, no, that's not the case at all. The way that we are manipulated is through empathy. You know, think about, and we learn about this like really early on as well, because if you think about, you know, a small child and they suddenly pick up a chocolate bar and they go, oh, can I have this, please? And they look at you, that tugs at the empathy strings, right? So we learn at a very young age how to manipulate and use that empathy to get what we want. So when we start having a look at the way behavior works and, you know, the way that we utilize that level of empathy, you know, whether it's making someone feel bad or make someone feel good in order to get what we want or to get a point across, you know, that's the way that all humans work. But narcissists can do it in such a high level, you know, that especially because they don't have that empathy, so it doesn't really work on them as much. You know, they do that in such a high level where it's easy to lose yourself and to be convinced to actually do things that are out of character for you. And I think this is the other thing, you know, when it comes to looking at narcissistic relationships, they often cause people to act so out of character that people feel lost or confused about who they really are. Because it's like, oh, why did I do that? How did I do that? What made me decide to do that? Like, who am I? Do I even know what makes me happy anymore? What am I feeling? And these questions in particular can be really scary for someone who's just come out of a narcissistic relationship. Because, you know, when we feel so disconnected, when we feel so confused, and when we feel so vulnerable, you know, that's the last thing we want to do is start looking at it and pulling it apart and criticizing ourselves for it, because we carry on also with that narcissistic voice in our head of, why did you do that so wrong? Wow, you're so stupid. And all this horrible internal dialogue. That's usually spoken words from ex-partners. Okay, that kind of pull you back into criticizing yourself and self-regulating. So a little bit like a cult, you'll have people in the cult who are cult members who will actually say the things that the cult leader will say to regulate other members of the cult. And if your mind is already doing that for your narcissistic partner, you know, that's really hard to let go of, because that's influencing a lot of your decision making. So one of the first things that's really important to do if you've come out of a narcissistic relationship is actually to start getting really in tune with your emotions and your feelings. Because most people are so disconnected from those emotions and feelings
that they are afraid to actually feel again. They're afraid of being alone. They're afraid of actually, you know, wondering how they're actually going to survive without this person that created such rigorous rules and things like that. It's almost like, and this is a really dodgy analogy, but imagine someone who's been in prison for, like, you know, I don't know, 3 years or something like that. Say it's a 3-year relationship. It's the equivalent of, like, someone coming out of prison where there's been such regimented rules to actually being free again, okay? You know, suddenly, like, wow, okay, I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do, but what do I do? And you often find that people, like, who come out of prison, they end up going into very similar routines because they don't know else what to do, or they do things to actually, to fall back in prison because they're looking back for that normality. Can you tell I've been recently watching Love After Lockup? That's my dirty little secret, by the way. But, you know, when we start having a look at these patterns, people are always looking for that normality and they're looking for that safety. You know, we're all driven by the brain chemistry and the biology that's driving us. We're looking to recreate the cocktail that we believe is our baseline within our brain's chemistry. So when you come out of a relationship like that, start feeling into your emotions, start feeling back into your body. And if you're struggling with the emotional side, just feel into how your body's feeling. How are you breathing? Are you feeling any pressure in your chest, in your stomach? And, you know, when we start having a look at this, you can start then to start labeling those pressures with those emotions. And that can be something just really simple to start helping you to get back in tune with your body again. Because it's almost like with narcissists, it's like someone's hijacked the hard drive. You know, someone's literally hijacked you. They've been the controller, and it's almost like allowing you to go, okay, what are my own controls? What's the main core essence of me, and how do I reclaim that after that's been, you know, hijacked for so long? So, and the other thing is, as well, it's about when you start reconnecting with those emotions and start reconnecting with yourself and what makes you happy, this is also the part where you start reconnecting with that level of trust. So, I remember when I came out of that narcissistic relationship, I didn't date for probably about 9 months. And, which was actually a very long time for me. I would have been, if it wasn't a narcissistic relationship, I probably would have jumped straight into another relationship. But that relationship was highly painful for me at the time because I found out he was cheating with lots of different people at the same time. So there was a very high level of betrayal that I kind of went through as a result of being in that relationship. And that triggered so much for me. So when I went to go into another relationship, so I met someone, I was literally loving the relationship, enjoying it so much. But then I realised that I couldn't trust. I remember, this is going a little bit deep, but I remember even kissing this guy and thinking, oh my gosh, I can't kiss him because if I kiss him, I'm going to like him too much and I need to push him away. I can't afford to like him too much because I'm going to get hurt. And that was like a huge realisation for me. I mean, this was like a good 10 years ago. But that was a huge realisation for me to actually go, wow, okay, this past relationship really took had a toll on me. And it's stopping me from being able to love fully. And of course, that relationship, that ended very quickly because I wasn't in that place to trust myself and also to trust someone else. And I think the biggest thing around trust is being able to create boundaries for yourself. So if you haven't checked out the boundaries episode that we did last week, go and check it out. I mean, it's on like all major podcasts, so, you know, like Apple Store and Spotify and, you know, all those different ones, Google. So do go and check it out, because I really go deep into boundaries and what's really important when it comes to boundaries and what's not, because there's a lot of fluff out there around boundaries. But when you start creating these level of boundaries for yourself, this is actually you building up trust of yourself. Every time that you break a boundary that you have for yourself, whether it's, oh yeah, I'm going to go to bed on time, or I'm going to get up at this time in the morning, or I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to eat healthy, or I'm going to lose 20 pounds, you know, whatever it is. If you don't stick to that, you are breaking a boundary with yourself and you're breaking down the trust within yourself. And often, any type of relationship problem that we have with people on the outside is often a relationship problem that we have on the inside. So if you're unable to trust your own decision-making, you're going to really struggle with actually trusting other people from the outside of you. So if you're afraid of being cheated on or being betrayed or going into a narcissistic relationship, well, often it's because you don't trust your own judgment, or you don't trust yourself to be able to deal with that if that was the case. So, for example, if they cheated on you, would you have the ability to be able to actually leave them? If you were treated in such a bad way, would you carry on in that relationship rather than doing what's right for you? And I know I'm going pretty deep here, but this is really important to understand when it comes to creating that trust with yourself. Because it all comes back to who you believe you are, what you believe you deserve, and it's about creating those standards for your life. And when you've been in a narcissistic relationship, all your boundaries have been absolutely smashed down and annihilated. This is one of the reasons why it's really hard to be able to build that trust with yourself, because it's been completely annihilated. And you've not been allowed boundaries. You've been punished for having boundaries. You've had to do everything, you know, someone else's way. And you've had to learn or relearn what boundaries are actually important to you to keep you safe. That's going to allow you to feel good. This is why it goes so deep. This is why narcissistic relationships are so damaging. It's because it creates this huge, this huge impact on your identity and who you believe you are. And so many people, when they've come out of narcissistic relationships, they go through almost this rebellious stage. It's almost like, I need to do things just to prove that I'm alive right now. So they'll do things a little bit out of character, a little bit risque to their personality type or what they're actually used to doing, because they're looking for that buzz to go, okay, I'm alive, or to create a little bit of that turbulence that they were experiencing in that narcissistic relationship. Because if you think about it, your brain chemistry in narcissistic relationships, you know, you've got the serotonin, the dopamine, that lovely high, and then you've got the withdrawal, the high, the withdrawal, the high, the withdrawal. And you might have even remembered in that previous narcissistic relationship when things were getting so good, you just know it's coming, you know the drop is coming. Now, when you've been going through that for a period of time, whether it's 6 months or 25 years, you're going to carry on wanting to recreate that after that relationship. So whether that's sabotaging your work, whether that's picking a fight with your friends or your family, whether that's doing something completely risque that you wouldn't normally do, it's your way of trying to recreate this turbulent balance. I mean, some people even dive straight into another relationship after being with a narcissist, with someone who's also going to carry on creating those spikes for them. So when it comes to healing from narcissistic relationships, there's a few things that are really, really important to be able to heal. And this is something I've said to all of my clients. So the first thing is actually understanding how a narcissist actually works. Because what we tend to do is, when we go into a narcissistic relationship and we've gone through that experience, we come out, the first thing that we're focusing on is, how do I know that I can stop myself from going in that situation again? And how do I know how to deal with the different things that came up in that relationship that I know I didn't deal with in the best possible way? So whether that was not being able to put a boundary down, whether that was not being able to stop an argument, whether that was just saying no to a narcissist and everything exploding out of proportion. When you're unaware of how to deal with those situations and how to protect yourself in those situations, your mind will carry on going over that situation again and again and again and again and again until it finds out the best way to protect you in future situations like that, whether that's the same ex-partner or whether this is someone new. So it's understanding how a narcissist works and how to use their psychology in a way that actually allows you to get the best out of them and the best out of you. Because if you've been pushed out of your integrity by being with a narcissist, the last thing you want to do is actually lose that again. The second thing that's really important is being able to actually heal, understand where the patterns come from, and heal from the trauma that's actually come up from that. Because one of the biggest journeys that, and it's like so important when it comes to healing from narcissistic relationships, is forgiving yourself. We love to be able to blame ourselves. We love to be able to pick ourselves apart and go, I should have known better. I should have done things in a better way. I should have left that relationship. Maybe it ended this way because of me. Maybe it's my fault. You know, we kind of come up with all this rubbish rather than actually understanding the truth of this is that person's never going to be able to have a healthy relationship in their life. And you manage to show up in the best possible way and give them the love that you know that you can, despite the way that they showed up. And it takes someone with a big heart to be able to go ahead and do that. So when you start actually taking that in, you can start to forgive yourself now. You did everything that you could. And the thing is, if you haven't got someone who's able to actually have a healthy relationship, you can't expect to suddenly magic something really healthy, something really committed, something really loving. You can't. So that's really important to understand. The third thing is being able to understand what you really want for the future. Now, this is like something that is really important just to anyone, because what we tend to do after we've come out of narcissistic relationships is we're so focused on the past and trying to figure it out and trying to understand it, trying to process it. And when we look at the past for too long, we tend to get into depression. We tend to feel really depressed. Versus when we actually start bringing that focus back to what it is that you want, what is it that's going to excite you? And this is why it's so important to really reconnect with those emotions after feeling so dissociated with your life. So the more you actually understand what it is that you want for your future, and you're able then to see how you're progressing towards that, the easier it is going to be for you to feel like you're healing. Okay, and you're creating something that's better and you're getting that momentum back in your life. So that's super, super, super important. And the other thing is, it's also knowing, especially if you're someone who's like co-parenting or anything like that with a narcissist, it's also knowing how to deal with those situations. I mean, we had one client who was co-parenting with a narcissist. And she wasn't getting her child maintenance on time. He was doing all terrible stuff with the divorce, eking it out, and all these different things. And as a result of us working together, we actually helped to get her independence back. So she actually had, when she separated with her ex, he actually owned the apartment that she was living in. And he was making all these different types of threats. We, you know, helped her unpick that so she had her own apartment. We helped her understand how to communicate with him. So she started getting her child maintenance payments from him on time. And we also helped her improve the relationship he had with her children. Because he started treating one of the children in particular quite badly. Because they reminded him too much of her. So when you're able to deal with those situations and get the best out of those situations, because I think everyone knows if you've been in a narcissistic relationship, the worst thing you could say to a narcissist is no. There are better ways to be able to communicate and get the best out of that relationship. You know, in terms of like things like co-parenting and, you know, after the separation, if you've got kids, there's ways to get the best out of that when you know how. And if you do want to learn more about that, then definitely go ahead and check out our website. And in particular, you know, if you've suffered from a narcissistic relationship, check out the free personalized love report. It's on the website, lovewithintelligence.com. I recently had someone go through it, and she literally reached out to me afterwards and said, "Oh my gosh, are you actually clairvoyant? You know, how did you know about all these different things that have come up?" And you know, we ended up going through some lots of deep things together. But it was something that was helpful, and it gave her that clarity and direction of what she wanted for the future and how to heal and those things, which is super important. Because I think this is the thing. I believe that most people don't prioritize their love lives enough. They don't prioritize it in such a way where, you know, they're getting the best out of it and they're getting the best out of life. Because the other thing is, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. So if you're not prioritizing your relationships, then don't expect to feel like you're getting the best out of your life. Because if you think about it, everything in life is related to some sort of relationship or another. It's the way that we connect to other people. But more importantly, it's about how we connect with ourselves as well. Okay, I know I'm going pretty deep, but you know me. I love going deep. So that's really, really, really important. And, you know, the other thing is, don't be afraid to actually get support. Don't be afraid of, you know, asking for the fastest way to be able to heal from this. And I think the thing that I tend to see time and time again is that people, you know, who want to jump out of, you know, and take action and you know, move forward from a narcissistic relationship, they'll actually go and find a therapist or a counsellor or someone like that who doesn't understand anything about a narcissistic relationship. I actually did this. I made the fatal mistake of doing this, like myself, when I came out of my narcissistic relationship. And the sad thing is, you spend most of the time educating your therapist or your coach on what a narcissist is. Or worse, I had one client who reached out to me, and she was saying to me like, "Oh gosh, yeah, I was seeing this counsellor and she actually blamed me that it's because I'm addicted to love, that that's the reason why I went into a narcissistic relationship." It's like, no, that's not right at all. That's not the reason why you went in that relationship. So definitely, if you know, if you're getting support, you're getting help, please make sure you're doing that with someone who actually understands narcissists. Okay, that's really, really important. Because if you haven't experienced it, if you haven't gone through it, if you haven't experienced a narcissist in any kind of capacity, how on earth are you meant to understand that personality type, how they work, and how to heal from that? That's like, you know, you can't. It's like almost like telling someone, "Please, can you smell the color blue?" You can't do it. You need to be able to have that experience of it to be able to support people to work through it. So the other thing as well is, when you're looking to be able to spot those early signs, so we talked about a lot of those early signs at the beginning, you know, looking for the empathy on the face, looking for, you know, that level of, you know, rapport, that, you know, with that empathy. We're also looking at things like that level of accountability. We've talked about the narcissistic apology. So you can look for all those different signs. But also starting to actually realize, what is it that you want in your ideal relationship when you start to move forward? What are the traits that you want to see in your ideal partner if, you know, when you start to move forward and date again, when you feel ready to move forward into something that's more healthy? And what you can do is you can start to think about the things that are really important to you. Like, what are your goals? What are the things that you want in your ideal relationship? What are the things that are really going to excite you and make you feel absolutely amazing? And what are the absolute no-nos? What are the complete deal breakers that if you saw in a relationship in the early stages that are going to make you go, nope, that's it, done. That's definitely not for me. I'm ending this right now. Because this is also coming back to boundaries and being able to protect you from going into any situations like that ever again. Okay? So we want to protect you from going in those types of relationships. So if you do want to check that out, if you do want a little bit of support from a free resource, go to our website because we've got a ton of them. In particular, do check out the Meet the One guide because that is awesome. That's also got our compatibility matrix in there. And that alone has supported many people to go and meet someone who is right for them. So that's what I suggest for you right now to improve your love life. Because here's the thing. Yes, okay, you might have gone through a narcissistic relationship. Okay, yes, it might have been absolutely terrible. Yes, it's caused you to question a lot of things around love. But the truth is, deep down, you and I both know that your heart is big enough to love again. That heart is there, ready to love the right person who's going to love you back. And that's where we want you to get to. So never lose sight of that. Never lose sight on the fact that you can actually enjoy a healthy, loving, committed relationship with the right one. Okay, we both know that you're able to do that. And I think the thing is, it's being able to forgive yourself for going through that situation in the past, letting that go, because the other truth is, you're not the same person anymore. You're not the same person who went through that previous relationship with someone who didn't appreciate you for you. And the reason I say that is think about all the amazing values that you have. You know, you're probably someone who's really polite, honest, loyal, fun, intelligent. And how rare are those qualities in someone? If you met someone with those qualities, like, how happy and amazed and thrilled would you actually be? And that's how I want someone to feel when they meet you. They recognize that you are someone who's so rare, someone who's so loving, and someone who's so ready for that committed, healthy, loving relationship. So, I'm going to leave it there. If you're ready, start that journey with the personalized love report. It's absolutely free on our website to do start that because that's going to give you that kickstart that you need. And then go and check out that episode we did on boundaries because I think that's going to be such an awesome one for you to go and check out so you can start setting those boundaries for other people but also yourself and you can start to bring that trust level up and that confidence up, which is going to support you beautifully for the future. So, I'm going to leave it there, sending you so much love, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us on the Love with Intelligence radio show. I'm so grateful that you joined us today, and I'm also so grateful that you are dedicating your time to improve your love life. So, as you are already on this journey, would it be crazy for you to jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com, and check out our many resources that's going to support you to enjoy your dream love life now? So that's lovewithintelligence.com, and I shall see you next time. Bye for now.